coffee shop dwellers, come forth. Those in the hallway, follow them. When I used to drive school bus, you know, you get that little mirror of death. You know, you look in the mirror so you can see all the kids. And it was amazing to me that you could say something and some of the kids didn't think it applied to them. You know, it was just this amazing moment. You know, it's just like, sit down. All but seats, you know, 6, 8, and 10, you can stand up. You know, it's just this crazy moment of school bus driving is one of those very challenging things that I've done in my life. Back in the day, Cheryl and I would be seen, maybe often we could say, at a local auction. The auctions that were around the county or the ones in the local towns that might be more of an auction they have on a weekly basis. But we often would find ourselves in an auction. And it was a form of entertainment, perhaps. It was, and as Tobin said, it was a social environment the other day when he was at an auction. You know, auctions can be that entertainment. You can go there to get something that you want if you've read the ad, but often we just went. And sometimes you ended up with stuff that you didn't really want, but it was there, it was a good deal. It can take up more space in the shed. You know, those types of things. So you carry it home, and I have maybe going to an auction on a motorcycle would be a good thing. Then you're very limited on what you could bring home, right? So the auctions were something that we frequented. One time at this one auction, we were at a neighboring little town, little towns in Tioga County where, you know, if it had more than 6 houses, we call it a town. So a town in the neighboring town from where we were having an auction. So we went, and they had several, multiple boxes of books. And they were cleaned out of a house somewhere. And there was one box, and they were all banana boxes, and one box that were all kids' books. And Cheryl had investigated the boxes and had found that this box of kids' books was there. So they began, and I was not standing with Cheryl. I was over visiting with a neighbor or something there. And Cheryl had indicated to me that she wanted this box of books for the girls. And so we were going along, and all of a sudden the auctioneer would say, I'm going to sell choice on books. And any box that you want. And so here goes the auction, and I don't know what it went to, $5 or $6 maybe. And so somebody went up and they took one or two boxes of books. And he said, okay, now we're going to do that again. And he did it again. And I hadn't paid attention to what the boxes were being sold. I wasn't paying attention really that they were even selling books. Until I got a look across the way from Cheryl, like her box was still there, and I wasn't doing what I needed to do with a little yellow card with my number on it. And so all of a sudden, the auctioneer says, the rest of the books. And I said, I better get in. And he said, $1. And somebody stepped up, and $2. And I bought the rest of the books for $2. What a deal. Yeah, there was 52 banana boxes full of books. In those auctions, sometimes they come up with these all kinds of stories and events that we have to deal with. We have to deal with that at the same type of auction in a neighboring town the very next week. And often this auction was one that would consistently go each week. Every once in a while, the auctioneer would stop the auction. He said, everyone get out their dollar. And then he would have some sort of bag, and maybe a lunch bag with something in it. He said, these are dollar bags. Hold up your dollar. Anybody wants one, hold up your dollar. Well, then they would pass these bags out and collect the dollars. The dollars were to go, and they went to like the fire company or some special cause. So in the auction, we got this. We got different things going on in the auction. But I always found that interesting. Everybody gets to give $1 to a greater need. And so through those dollars that were collected, the fire company was able to do what they needed to do, and the auctioneer was inviting us to be a part of what was going on. Do you want to be a part? Here's a chance. Get out your dollar. And he would say it again. The invitation was there. Get out your dollar. You want to make a difference. Here's a chance to make a difference. $1 will make a big difference when we collect 1,000 of them. Do you want to be a part of a dollar deal? Do you want to be a part of making an impact with just a small amount of investment? Because when you make an investment, and I make an investment, and someone else makes an investment, and we all start making an investment, all of a sudden we have $1,000 worth of investment. I think God is doing the same thing in our lives. And perhaps like the auctioneer at times, he calls us and we say yes, and we throw our card up, and maybe it's bigger than what we think. But we say yes, God. Ananias in the scripture, when the Lord spoke to him, he said, yes, Lord. He said, go heal Paul's eyes. Yes, Lord. And he wanted to do it, but it was bigger than what he thought it was going to be. And then there's other times when God is just saying, hey, do you want to be a part? I'm not asking you to do it all. I'm just asking you to do a part. Do you want to do a part? Do you want to be a part of what I'm doing? I'm inviting you to be a part of what I'm doing. Get your dollar out. Get your dollar out, because the dollar is going to be used. Is God inviting us to give a dollar toward a $1,000 need? That's the name of today's message. A dollar's worth of kindness makes $1,000 worth of difference. A dollar's worth of kindness makes $1,000 difference. A dollar's worth of kindness, when it comes from you, and 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 you, and you. And all of a sudden, we have $1,000 worth of difference. God says, get your dollar out. Just get your dollar out. I'm asking you to invest in a dollar's worth of kindness. Will you invest in a dollar's worth of kindness? We've been talking about stepping His way, stepping with God. And God said yesterday, or last week, we said He needs to be dressed in compassion, and He needs to be dressed in kindness. Will you allow me to dress you in kindness? And will you call when I say, get your kindness out? Because it's time to invest your kindness. Because kindness is going to make a big difference. God is inviting us to give a dollar's worth of kindness that'll make $1,000 worth of difference. God is active in our world, and He's inviting you and I to be active in our world. I know Colossians 1:17 says this, He, Jesus, is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Without if Jesus leaves the environment implodes. All things are held together by Jesus. All things are held together by Him. In the here and in the after and everywhere, all things are held together by Jesus. All things. This world, the tree, all things are held together by Jesus. And there's some things that He's not inviting me to be a part of. He's never asked me to ride the bike to keep the world turning around the sun. He just never said, hey, it's your turn. Get on the bike, pedal this baby, and let it go around the sun to keep everything together because I'm holding all things together. No, He's never made that request to me. He said, I got that. I can do the gravity thing. I got that. I'm working here and I'm working there and I'm working, and I'm not inviting you to do what I'm doing. But I am inviting you to do some things that I want you to be a part of. I am asking you to get your dollar out. Corinthians 5:20 says this, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making His appeal through us. At times, God's saying, I'm going to talk through you. I'm going to make the invitation through you. I'm going to do something here. Get your dollar out. Because you're my ambassadors. I want you to do it. Now, heads up. Here I come. God says, I'm active. Okay, I got the spinning around the solar system. I got that all in place. I can handle that. But I want you to invest a dollar in a $1,000 need. Will you do it? Because you're my ambassadors. And 1 Corinthians 12:27 says this, but you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Get your dollar out because you're the part of the body of Christ. He said, you're my hands and you're my feet. You're my eyes. You're my ears. I'm inviting you to be a part. You're part of the body. Why wouldn't I invite my body to be a part of what my head's doing? Can you imagine that? Hey, my head's going to go over here and do something, and my body's going to go over here and do it. Well, all of a sudden, your body isn't doing what the head's directing it because it's all disconnected. Jesus says, I got you. I'm the head of the body, and you're the body, and I'm inviting you to be a part. Get your dollar out. And then he says this in Matthew. He says this, you are the light of the world, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. And I know we read that. I know we've seen it on t-shirts. I know we've seen it on license plates. I know we've seen it on stickers on our car. He said, you know what he's saying there? Get your dollar out because it's time to make a difference. Are you willing to invest a dollar worth of kindness? Are you willing to get your dollar out because I want you to make a difference right now? I want you to be the salt of the earth. I want you to make a difference in the here and now. Cheryl and I walked into Walmart the other day. And before we got there, you know, out on the sidewalk, there was a handful of trash that somebody had put on the sidewalk right there, almost in front of the door. And simultaneously, almost in stereo, we both went down and picked up some of that garbage. Because I think just simply God was asking me to be the salt of the earth. And this young lady was walking by us at the same time, and she looked at both of us. She said, you're good people. I said, I picked up trash on a sidewalk. And God says, that's what happens. I just want you to be the salt of the earth. I want you to be the light of the world, too. I want you to be the light of the people that are around you. I want you to be, see, I'm inviting you to be a part. Do you want to be a part? Get your dollar out. Because you know what? The auctioneer didn't come out and force everyone to hold up their dollar. Hey, God's not like the army, right? You get your dollar out, they'll take your dollar, and you'll be a part of the solution. God says, you're the salt of the earth. I want you to be part of the solution. You're the light of the world. I want you to be part of the solution. You're the body of Christ. I want you to be a part of the solution. You're my ambassadors. I want you to be a part of the solution. I don't need your help keeping gravity going. But I'm inviting you to make a difference. Will you make a difference? Will you invest a dollar's worth of kindness to make a $1,000 difference? I just want to step just a few moments this morning in Psalm 30. In Psalm 30 says this, in verses 2 and verse 8 and verse 10 says this, Lord, my God, I call to you for help. In verse 8 says, I called to the Lord and I cried for mercy. Hear, verse 10 says, hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. There's only 12 verses in that psalm and three times of he's crying out for help. God, I need, this is King David. This is the King of Israel. And he said, oh, I need help. God, I need mercy. God, I need help. I need mercy and help. And God answers those cries. Hang with me just a minute if you just feel like I just switched to another sermon. David is crying out for help. He's crying out for mercy. He's crying out for God to do something in his life. David has some real issue in his life. He's the king. There are certain issues that he does not have. He's not worrying about where to buy groceries, apparently, or maybe, but he has a need for God. I need God to work. I need mercy. I need help, God. And all of a sudden, we start to see God in this psalm answer his plea and give him the answers. We have the cry for help and the cry for mercy, and we have the result of that cry. And I want to make an argument about what the middle of that is. But let's look at the result of that cry. Here he goes. He says in verse 1, I will exalt you, O Lord. I will exalt you, O Lord. I will live and desire and have the ability to put God first in my action and in my thought. Push the button, please. To put God first in my action and in my thoughts. That's exalting God. Do you know what exalting God means? It means the desire and the ability for God to be first in thought and action. And then living a life that makes God known through thought and action in my life. So he goes, and now he's living a life. He's having moments where God is exalted in his life. And then he continues in the psalm with this. He continues. He said, you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. I will exalt you. You lifted me out of the depths. When I think of down in the depths, I think about such things as depression and hopelessness and grief. I think there's some of the deepest depths we're going to get in. And when depression gets a hold of us and it pulls us down, God, I need your help. God, I need mercy. God, I need your help. And all of a sudden, we see God pulling him out of the depths, pulling him out of depression, pulling him out of hopelessness, pulling him out of grief. We start to see the answer. God is answering him. God, he's crying out to God, and God is answering him by pulling him out of the depths. And he said, you did not let my enemies gloat over me. You gave victory over my enemies. You gave me victory. They were not top dog in my life anymore. When I think of victories, I think of addiction. I think of anger, and I think of greed, and I think of pride, and I think of selfishness. I think of those enemies in our life, and all of a sudden David's saying, I need you, God. I need mercy, God. And all of a sudden he said, I start to see that my enemies don't have the upper hand in my life anymore. In verse 2, he says this, O Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. He experienced a real healing, perhaps physical, mental, emotional, or relational. We can go through David's life, and we see that he experienced sickness in his marriage, and sickness in his parenting, and sickness in his leadership, and sickness in his personal life. And somehow, when he cried out to God, something happened in his life, and all of a sudden, he starts to feel the healing that's coming alive in his life. This psalm, I see in this psalm, I see the cry, and I see the result, I see the answer. What is the middle? How was the answer given to him? How was the answer delivered into his life? How was he being pulled out of the addiction? How was he being pulled out of greed? How was he being pulled out of his enemies that were trying to gloat over him? How was he being pulled out of depression? How was he pulling out of grief and hopelessness? How was that happening in his life? And I read this psalm. I said, God, you didn't give me the middle. I like the middle of the Oreo cookie. I see the cry, and I see the result. What's happening in the middle, God? Where is he getting that result? What's happening in his life that's being delivered into his life? The psalm goes on with verse 3. It says, Oh, Lord, you brought me out of the grave or out of Sheol or out of hell. He's being brought out of the grave, out of hell. When I think of going through Sheol or going through hell, I start to think about lingering sickness or lingering situations in our life. And they start getting defined, I'm going through hell. And all of a sudden, David's life, he's going through a lingering situation. All of a sudden, he starts to see God answer him in this way that he knows that now he's been moved. He's been moving out of the road to hell and the road to life. He spared me from going down into the pits. He spared me from going down deeper. He spared me from a new low. You ever hear somebody saying, well, they just haven't hit bottom yet? No, I think you hit multiple bottoms. my cousin one time, and him and I were in the haymow, we would have lived in the haymow. And we would start building hay forts when you start putting the hay in. And so you could literally go all the way to the haymow floor through 30 feet of hay. Our parents did not know we were doing that, but that was... And I can remember being on the top of one of the haystacks and chasing my cousin around, who was a year younger than I was. We were probably, I'm going to guess I was 8 and he was probably 7, in that range. And we were just molly grubbing that haymow like you would not believe. That was our Planet Fitness, okay? That was our Planet Fitness back in the day. And all of a sudden, my cousin comes up missing from the top of the haystack. And I hear, whoom! And I went over to the side of the hay, and I looked down, and he's laying on the haymow floor, right on his back. Whoom! And all of a sudden, he's like, oh! And he rolls over, right down through the hay hole, right into the manger, into the front of the cows. Boom! He went down there. He thought he had hit bottom. One more roll, he found there was another bottom. And I think that's in my life. I think that's the same way. I think I hit bottom, and all of a sudden I roll over, and boom, I'm down lower. And David said, God, you kept me from rolling over, and boom, finding a new low in my life. You pulled me out of the pit, and you kept me from sinking further and further and further and expecting a new low or experiencing a new low. Verse 4 says, sing to the Lord, you saints. Look what's happening in his life now. He's leading others in praising God. Sing to the Lord, you saints. Woo! He says. How's that happening? How's that happening in his life? How does he go from the cry to these answers? How does he go from the plea for mercy and help to experiencing victory, to experiencing a new walk, to experiencing a new step, to experiencing a new platform that he's standing on? How is that happening in his life? Verse 5 says, his anger only lasts only a moment. But his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping remains for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. And I just like to sit that verse 5 just aside. I don't know if we'll come back to it, not today, but someday. You know what God's angry at? The sin. God is angry at sin. And when you and I hang on to sin, it seems like he's angry with us. He's not. He's angry at what we're hanging on to. And God says, I have set in place repentance and confession that you don't have to hang on what I'm angry with. Because it's not you. It's what you are wrapped in. I'm angry at that. Let me remove that through embracing of confession and repentance in your life. And so David has found himself in this moment. He's found himself in this moment where he feels like God is angry at him. But all of a sudden, he knows that there's confession and repentance to get out of under what God is angry at. In verse 6, he says, when I felt secure, and that word secure there means careless ease. When I felt at careless ease, I said, I will never be shaken. Literally, he's saying, I thought I was secure in this world. I thought I had everything I needed. Nothing's ever going to bother me. I got it. I got the answer. I don't really need help. He said, I found out that was not true. He unhitched an unhitching from false security. Verse 7 says this, O Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you're hidden your face, I was in dismay. When your mountain, my mountain stands firm, my true security. Listen, God has given us true security, and you can stand firm on that. And David is finding that out. He embraced the embracing of God's purpose in his life. Again, just for my own well-being, maybe. And maybe I just need to look into the mirror or something that reflects. How is this happening, God? How is it happening? How is it happening that he can cry out? And how is it happening that he can experience these things in his life, this victory over these things that are taking his very life from him? How is it happening? Verse 8 again says, to you, O Lord, I called. To you, Lord, I cried for mercy. And verse 9 says, what gain is there in my destruction, in my going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? There's no value in any other way than God's way. And we might visit that later in the year. But he's coming to the realization there is no value in any other way but God's way. I'll leave that for another day. Verse 10 says, hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed the sackcloth. You clothed me with joy, a heart that sings now. Can I ask the question again? How is that happening? I got to ask just once. Am I making sense today? This is King David, and he had real needs. And my question is, where were the answers coming from? We see the cry, and we see the result. We see how he did. How did he come from depression and hopelessness and grief to freedom? How did he come from addiction and anger and greed and pride to victory? How did he come from going through Sheol to walking in life? How did he come from being weighed down by sin to being set free? How did he come from a false sense of security to embracing God? How did he come from wailing to dancing, from broken to restored, from great sorrow to unquenchable joy, from a heavy heart to one that sings? How did that happen? I wonder if there weren't people around him that were willing to invest a dollar's worth of difference that made $1,000 difference. A dollar's worth of kindness that made a dollar's worth of difference. The acts of compassion are identified as kindness. A kindness is an act of compassion. When I start to see David, and I start to see the people around him, and I start to see the list of people that is around him, we can go to this list. Just a few people out of the scriptures are on the next slide. Just a few people out of the scriptures. Abishai. David said one time in the scripture, who will go with me? And Abishai come up. He said, I'll go with you, David. And we see differences made by Jonathan and Abigail. We see differences made in his life because somebody, I think, responded to God. You want to make a difference in this world? You're my ambassador. You're my hands and my feet. And you're the salt of the earth. And you're the light of the world. Step up to the bat. Step up to the plate. It's time for you to hit. And they said, yes. So let me answer my own question perhaps, and I think I'm good with this answer. I think I'm embracing this answer. The cry and the result in the middle was full of people who were Colossians 3:12 people, who were stepping with God, who had clothed themselves in compassion and kindness, and the acts of that compassion were coming out, and they were speaking into someone else's life, and they were showing him kindness. How do you get out of depression? I think someone needs to invest in you. How do you get out of great grief? I think someone needs to invest in you. How do you get out of sin that's trying to push you down? I think someone needs to invest in you. Do you have a responsibility? Sure. Get your dollar out. God's asking you to make a difference. He said, you're going to step with me. I'm going to ask you to make a difference through acts of compassion or kindness. Are you willing to invest some kindness in this world? the guys that I've asked with those plastic boxes, I made you kindness spinners today. You're going to get a kindness spinner. Okay? It's not a fidget spinner, because really I don't care if you fidget or not. You know what our fidget spinner was for me? My dad's hand to the back of my head. You're going to fidget? Poof. Or he had this in Dad's watch, and Dad, you did this. And he would put his hand on your leg, and he would just become this vice after a while. It's like you can handle it for the first two or three cranks, but after that, it got downright convincing that fidgeting wasn't worth it. These are not fidget spinners. These are, go ahead, guys, start passing them out. These are kindness spinners. I want at least each adult, each household, maybe each adult to take one. These are kindness spinners. I'm asking you to spin the spinner this week. I got 7 suggestions on the bottom of this. Are you ready to make a difference? Do you really want to, or just want to go out of here and say, that was a cool message? I don't really remember what he said. Just so you know, when you take one of these out, that's God saying, get your dollar out, because here we go. I expect you to spin that thing this week. Acts of compassion. If you're not really good at sharing in your family, I didn't put that on there. Just take 2, okay? Sharing would be a good act of kindness, but I'm not going to work on that right now. Take 2, because I would like you to invest some kindness in each other and in our community. Again, New Life, I think God is asking us, get your dollar out. Here's your dollar. You get to spin the wheel. Okay, here's on the wheel. Here's what it is. I know it's small. Get your bifocals out, because I had to fit it on the same card. Here we go. Push the button, please. Say thank you to 10 people today. Purposely say thank you to 10 people. When you spin and you hit a number 1, I want you to keep in your mind, I am going, maybe you say, I do that all the time. Yeah, take record of it. You're going to have 10 times. I did that because you didn't need to take off your shoes. You got just 5 and 5, you got 10. So you can keep track of how many people you purposely said thank you to. God, I'm going to invest the dollars worth of kindness this week, and it's going to come through just a simple thank you to somebody, and I'm going to not just do it as they're passing by. I'm going to look them in the eye and say, thank you. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for waiting on me at Walmart. Thank you for being at the drive-thru. Thank you for delivering my mail. Purposely say thank you. Number 2, give someone a hug today. And just so you know, a hug has to last 3 seconds for being a meaningful hug. That's weird. Count to 3. The guy will want to push you away. Say, wait a minute, we got to have 2 more seconds here. And I didn't say hug the mailman. I didn't say hug the neighbor. I just said hug somebody. If you spin that and your wife is in the room or your husband's in the room, feel free saying, I'm going to invest in you today. God asked me to get my dollar out. Oh, you're just doing that because you spin it on the spinner. Yes! Do you want the hug or not, right? I mean, that's just legit. So please don't blame anybody for spinning on the spinner and getting it. God's directed. He used to drop things and it would point to people. I think he can control the spinner. If he wants you to give somebody a hug, I think it'll land on hug. Do you know how meaningful a hug is? Do you know how many people in this world don't get an embrace? A hug is an act of compassion. A hug is kindness. And it will be a dollar's worth of investment for $1,000 difference. Text words of encouragement to 5 people today. See, I kept this all on our fingers so he could know. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Send out 3 handwritten notes to family or friends this week. Handwrite them. That's an art that's going away. Don't type them, handwrite them. Just send them a note this week. Take cookies to your neighbors. I didn't say bake. Go buy some Oreos. They might like Oreos better than my baking. Just go buy cookies and give them to your neighbor. Smile at everyone you see today. Literally, just take notice and smile. Not a smirk. There's a big difference between a smirk and a smile. And call a friend. Call a friend. And tell him, I just wanted to say hi. New Life, will we take a chance? Just raise our dollars. And make a dollar's worth of investment for a $1,000 difference. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has in store for those who love him. And I believe that comes through us. How did David get from A to B? Because he had Colossians 3:12 people in his life that were clothed, that were walking with God, that were stepping with God, and are clothed with kindness. Stand with me today. God, I know one thing, that some, I'm just going to prophesy right now that all in this room are going to spin that spinner. And I'm going to prophesy too that all are going to do it. And they're not going to wait to see what the spinner lands on to do it. They're just going to say, yes, Lord, and they're going to spin the spinner, and they're going to do it. Because we are the ones who are willing to get our dollars out. Because there's a $1,000 need in our families and in our communities. And God, you will find people in this room who have a dollar to invest. And we will say thank you, and we will hug, and we will send notes, and we will call, and we will text, and we will give cookies. And it'll make a big difference in someone's life. Can we imagine, God, that someone is struggling in our neighborhood, and all of a sudden we show up to their house with cookies, and all of a sudden they start to realize somebody does know I'm home. Oh, what a difference that's going to make. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for that we can invest a dollar's worth of kindness into a $1,000 need. Father, we are your children, and you love us, and you care about us, and you care for us, and you even like us. Father, I pray that we would be those children in thought and in action and in deed. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.